Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
U.S. stocks plummet on persistent price pressures. How continued high inflation is hitting U.S. consumers.
People are doing everything they can to keep their overall bill down. And that actually should have the effect over time of helping to restrain inflation.
Plus, why some people are impulse buying despite the higher prices. It's Tuesday, September 13th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. New data shows consumer prices rose sharply in August, even leaving out volatile categories like food and energy, a sign that inflationary pressures are broad, strong, and stubborn. The Labor Department says the Consumer Price Index, measuring what consumers pay for goods and services, rose 8.3% in August from the same month a year ago, down from 8.5% in July and 9.1%, a four-decade high, in June. Although gas prices fell, prices for most other goods and services, including food, cars, electricity, and natural gas, were up. The latest inflation data is likely to keep the Federal Reserve on its path of aggressively raising interest rates. But the numbers are raising concerns among investors and consumers about when price pressures might ease more broadly. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. The high inflation data made it a punishing day for U.S. stocks. The Dow fell nearly 1,300 points, just under 4%. The Nasdaq fell more than 5%, something that's only happened 45 other times in its entire history. And the S&P 500 lost 4.3%. It was the worst day for U.S. stocks since 2020. Our markets reporter Akani Otani says just a few months ago, investors had hoped inflation already peaked and that the Federal Reserve would begin slowing down its rate increases. But that's no longer the case.
The big fear is that the Fed's going to have to keep raising rates for a lot longer than investors had anticipated, and also raise rates to higher levels than investors had been expecting. Both those things were sort of in question earlier this summer, but with this inflation data, what investors are realizing is the Fed really hasn't had the evidence that it needs to slow down its rate increases. So that's really sort of signaling that markets are probably going to be in for more volatile times for the foreseeable future.
As Americans face the highest inflation in decades, the latest data from the Census Bureau shows their income was flat last year. Median household income was about $70,800 in 2021, compared to 2020's inflation-adjusted estimate of about $71,200. Those numbers were boosted by an increase in government spending during the pandemic. Twitter's shareholders are backing a $44 billion takeover deal by Elon Musk, who is fighting in court to terminate the agreement. That's according to a preliminary tally of votes by the company. Support for the deal came the same day whistleblower Peter Zatko, Twitter's former head of security, criticized the company in testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Zatko told the panel that Twitter executives prioritize profits over security.
When an influential media platform can be compromised by teenagers, thieves, and spies, and the company repeatedly creates security problems on their own, this is a big deal for all of us.
Twitter has pushed back against Zatko's allegations, saying he was making misleading statements. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have raised concerns about how social media companies, including Twitter, use and protect customer data. And Amazon is planning to increase pay and benefits for its delivery partners ahead of the shipping-intensive holiday season. The company says it'll set aside $450 million more for drivers that are part of its delivery service partners network. The e-commerce giant has been restructuring its logistics network after growing too quickly during the pandemic. Coming up, the Fed is on track to continue rapidly raising interest rates after the latest inflation data showed price pressures remain strong. So, when will prices start to come down? More after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The The latest inflation data out today dashed hopes for any quick relief from higher prices. And while the new CPI numbers show prices rising more slowly than in recent months, that's likely little consolation to consumers who are paying more for food, transportation, and medical care. So how long will it take for the Federal Reserve's inflation-fighting plan to make a real dent? And can we expect higher prices to ease any faster than we've seen in the past? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal senior writer John Hilzenrath. Hi, John. Thanks for joining me.
Hi there. Great to be here.
So, John, we saw that energy prices rose pretty fast earlier this year. Those have since come back down, but really across the board, consumers are still seeing very high prices on a broad swath of goods and services. What has a sustained period of inflation meant for consumers?
Oh, well, it's been a real hardship. You know, basically, the bottom line is that a paycheck doesn't go as far as it used to. Net-net, you know, if you're bringing home $100, the cost of the basket of goods and services that you buy is risen to $110. On net, your paycheck just doesn't go as far. And you mentioned energy. The places that are getting hit, it's kind of shifting every month or so. Earlier in the year, it was energy prices, gasoline. Now it's really in the grocery store.
So this is not the preferred gauge of inflation for the Federal Reserve, but the data does keep the central bank on track to continue raising rates. How are Fed officials looking at this data?
Well, the Fed has made it pretty clear in the last few weeks that they don't think that they have slayed the dragon and that they've got more work to do. And so the Fed's going to be meeting next week, and they've made it abundantly clear they're going to be raising interest rates again. And until they see really clear signs that inflation is slowing down, they're going to keep raising rates. Now, there was some good news in this report. Gasoline prices did come down. Overall, the headline figure barely rose. But as you mentioned, there are a number of areas where prices are still rising a lot, and that's got the Fed still in combat mode, shall we say. You are right that this isn't the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. There's a consumer price index which came out today. And then there's also another index called the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, which comes out in a couple weeks. The reason this distinction matters is there's actually been quite a divergence over the last few months between what the consumer price index is doing and what the PCE price index does. The consumer price index, for some technical reasons, is rising a lot faster than the Fed's preferred gauge. But the Fed doesn't take a lot of comfort in that. They want to see a lot of progress in both indices before they start declaring some progress on controlling inflation.
And to that point, John, at the summit in Jackson Hole, Wyoming last month, Chair Jerome Powell started his remarks by acknowledging that U.S. consumers are feeling a lot of pain right now.
While higher interest rates, slower growth, and softer labor market conditions will bring down inflation, they will also bring some pain to households and businesses. These are the unfortunate costs of reducing inflation. But a failure to restore price stability would mean far greater pain.
John, have we underestimated inflation and just how long it will take for this process to play out?
Clearly, many people have, including the decision makers in Washington, underestimated the persistence and pervasiveness of inflation. And so they're playing catch up right now to try to get it under control. You know, the markets, I think, did too. There was a sense in markets this summer that we might be turning the corner because gasoline prices were coming down. There was all this talk in the market about a Fed pivot. Traders love to use these two-word catchphrases. So their catchphrase this summer was Fed pivot. But the Fed's not ready to pivot because inflation is still out there. And we haven't seen enough of the taming to get the Fed to stop slamming those brakes on the economy.
Many Americans who are feeling the pressure of higher prices right now didn't experience the last period of sustained inflation in the 1970s. What has that meant for consumer behavior, and what could we potentially learn from that period about the path we have ahead now?
You mentioned the 1970s. That was a period where inflation did feed into the mechanics of how everything in the economy worked. And one of the things that happened was we got what was called a wage price spiral. It affected behavior in the sense that people said, well, my cost of living is going up. I'm demanding pay increases. And then when companies had to give out pay increases, they raised prices even more and the thing fed on itself. And that's what the Fed is trying to avoid right now by slamming the brakes on the economy. You know, I think what we've seen this summer is that households are changing their behavior. They clearly are. So if you look at what's going on just with food, people are saying, well, the cost of going out to a restaurant is too high, so I'm going to eat at home. And then the groceries are too expensive, so instead of buying packaged goods, I'm just going to buy ingredients for a salad. People are doing everything they can to keep their overall bill down. And that actually should have the effect over time of helping to restrain inflation too, because people are just saying they're not going to put up with it. They're driving less. They're combining errands. They're changing the way they eat. They're cutting back on discretionary purchases. The American consumer has made clear this summer that they're going to do everything that they can to put a stop to inflation.
So what is next for the Fed? They are meeting next week.
It's an important meeting, and I think the markets got a little ahead of themselves over the last few weeks. They were hoping that the Fed was going to signal that it's time to start slowing the pace of interest rate increases. They've signaled they're probably going to do a big interest rate increase, 0.75 percentage point. They have to acknowledge that it looks like inflation might be starting to slow, which opens the possibility for them to slow the pace of interest rate increases down the road. But I think they're going to make very clear that they need to see more progress on inflation. They haven't seen enough yet.
That's Wall Street Journal senior writer John Hilzenrath. John, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
And finally, one effect of high inflation is that more people are putting purchases on their credit cards. The New York Federal Reserve says card balances grew by $46 billion between the first and second quarters. But not all of those extra purchases were for must-haves. Some people are splurging on things they just want, treating themselves to some retail therapy. Our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter, owns up to making some impulse buys herself. And she says this kind of behavior happens all the time during economic downturns. It's called the lipstick effect.
That's something that economists look at. It's sort of an index of recessions. If women are spending more on beauty products, they are typically doing so when times are bad, where you feel the future is bleak, but I can always treat myself to a lipstick.
Finance experts also say if you've got the cash, splurging amid high inflation can make a certain kind of sense.
They are putting off these bigger purchases, things like, you know, washing machines or appliances. And then they're thinking, oh, no, wait, I shouldn't be putting this off. I should buy this now because this thing is going to go up in price with how quickly inflation is skyrocketing.
You can hear more from Julia on this morning's episode of our personal finance podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.